What is up, guys? Welcome to the Think Computer's weekly tech podcast. This is episode 255, and our podcast is brought to you by Amazon. If you go to thinkcomputers.org/Amazon and happen to purchase something, of course, gives us a little kickback and keeps the podcast ongoing. With me is, looks like, my very concerned co-host, Ryan.
No, I'm not concerned. I was for a second because I was on podcast page 254. So I was a week behind. I was just kind of jamming out to the intro music, the little X-Files-ish sound.
It is a little X-Files. Like, I might need to change up the little intro, but
all right.
But yeah, talking about our podcast page, it is linked in the description of the video wherever you are watching this. Well, if you're watching this, wait, yeah. It should be linked there. I'm out of sorts today. It is a little interesting day, but but yeah, so we have our full show notes page that you guys can go ahead and check out. And then Ryan did notice, and I noticed it, we're having some caching issues on the website. Mm-hmm. Ryan noticed, like, if you went to the podcast section, he said, like, only 252 showed up.
Well, the homepage was just showing, yeah, the latest podcast on the homepage was 252 and, you know, a couple old reviews. And so it sounds like not just me.
If that does happen, I'm trying to get it fixed. We use a CDN and all this stuff. It's a caching issue, I'm pretty sure. So if it does happen, just hit Control F5. That's like a full refresh. That should refresh, and you should see the latest podcast notes if you're looking to find it. So that's the issue that we're dealing with. In our chat is Old Man. What is going on? And Ryan, this is our first podcast of 2021.
Yeah, I was just up. It's first podcast of 2021, like you just said. I was putting in the stream info for the Twitch stream later on. I was like, oh, first stream 2021.
Oh, how do you say
PD.
Yeah, PD is here. That's what we'll call you, because I'm not gonna try to say your name, but he was here last week, so welcome back. But yeah, so new year, I've gone back to the gym.
Hey, you're telling me about this.
So here in Pennsylvania, the gyms had opened back up the 4th. I went the 4th, skipped the 5th, and I've gone today the 6th. It's been good. I've been pushing myself decently. Good. So hopefully, again, as I said last week, that was my number one New Year's resolution, was to get back in shape. And of course, going to the gym helps that. So how's your New Year's been?
I don't think I came up with when was New Year's? It was last Friday, right?
Yeah, because we're like a week.
I'm so off on.
It's the 6th, so it's like we're almost like a full week.
All right.
Yeah.
I was in bed by, I think, 10:30. And just, you know, we got some snow though, which was really nice. I loved it. And it was like a significant amount. I think, like, on the east side of town, we got 6 to 6.5 inches. Over here on the west side, we got about 4 to 5, maybe. But it was enough to, like, and it was cold enough where it stuck around, and it was the perfect, like, snowball making snow so the kids could enjoy it. They sledded out back on our backyard, sloped a little. So I got some time out there, but so far New Year's been all right. I mean, we're only a few days in, so.
Yeah. One more thing I did want to say this. This is, I just tried this new drink today.
Okay.
It's like, I'm sure you've heard of Body Armor, but this is called Body Armor Light Tropical Coconut. It tastes like tropical.
Tropical coconut, I bet.
Yeah, it tastes like tropical. It's really, really good. I just, like, picked it up the other day, and it might be my new favorite drink. So, anyways.
Did you have black-eyed peas? Luke in the chat is asking.
No, is that a thing?
Yeah, I think you'd, like, eat black-eyed peas at midnight or something. I've never done it, but...
No, Luke, I did not. And PD said he's from Greece. I've always wanted to go to Greece, like, just to see all that stuff. Mm-hmm. That'd be kind of cool. But haven't been there, and obviously with travel restrictions, probably won't be there anytime soon. But let's jump into tech. Of course, that's why we're all here, is to talk tech, not what's going on in our lives. So we have 3 awesome reviews this week. We'll start with the Corsair Dominator Platinum RGB White Edition. So I took a look at these. This is the Dominator Platinum RGB that came out in 2019. But they made it, when it first came out, it was only black. Like, so the dims were only black. Now they change it to all white. And I have to say, these are probably the best looking, like the best looking memory that I've ever reviewed. I mean, they're just sick. Like
they're growing on me. And the pictures that you're showing now, like, I like them a lot more. We kept looking at a picture that had just a rainbow RGB effect to it, and it just wasn't doing it for me. These, though, yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's like, they look so good. So you have the Dominator. If you're not familiar with the Dominator Platinum design, it's like sort of like this industrial design with a bit taller of a heat spreader. That is because they have this heat sink actually at the top, which is this gold that you see. And then up above that, you have a diffuser, which I'll show you, that has the Dominator logo on it and stuff like that. But all white on all of that. And then you have just these slight gold accents, which weren't there on the black edition. And then they have the change gold up here. I just think it goes together so well. Like, and the white on these, which my, like, no pictures really do the white on this justice. It is like a pearl. It's like a perfect white. Like, I've reviewed white products, and you can see that it's like painted. Like painted on there, or like it's just a bad white, or like an off white. This is the perfect white.
This is like just a crisp white. Like,
it's perfect. Yeah. It's like I've never reviewed a product that was this perfectly white. It's just they've done it all really, really good. You can see the top of the memory here, and these are all diffusers for the RGB LEDs, which are actually on the PCB of the memory itself. It's just good memory. It's just really, really good memory. Dominator Platinum in general uses a custom 10 layer PCB. They use hand-picked ICs for the memory, so you know it's really, really good memory. Now, the only issue I had with this kit, which was odd to me, was overclocking. I was only able to get a 133 megahertz more out of this kit, and it's only 3200 megahertz, so that was odd to me. I couldn't figure it out. I bumped up the voltage all the way to 1.45 volts, which I feel is very high. I loosened the timings. I did everything.
I wonder why you didn't get much more than that.
It was very, very odd to me. I don't know if it was just like it didn't make sense to me, because the other Dominator Platinum kit that were reviewed in 2019, I was able to get 400 megahertz out of it without touching anything, without touching voltage or timings. So that was just a little weird. But beyond that, I mean, the performance is really, really good. As you just saw when I was on the previous page, the lighting is really good. It's all done with an IQ. So you can see here like what it looks like if you had lights on. You can see how the light kind of shines through that heatsink. And then with the lights off, you can see, you know, what it's going to look like there. Everything is done in IQ. You have a ton of different settings. Just like if you're familiar with IQ, you know what this is all about. you can individually address every RGB that's on the DIMM. You can, here you can see all of that. You actually get readouts for temperatures. If you wanted to graph those temperatures, you can do that. But you can do that. And we reviewed the IQ Nexus. So you could technically display this temperature on the IQ Nexus device if you wanted. And there is like notifications like with temperatures of the memory. Say for some reason your memory is going crazy overheating, you can change all the RGB LEDs on it. You can run a file, you can shut down the PC, you can do all that stuff with an IQ. So overall, I think it's really, really good memory. I think Corsair Dominator Platinum RGB, whether it's white, whether it's black, is some of the best memory that you can get for right now. It's just the best. There's only a few kits that I would say kind of compete, but as far as style, quality, full software control of RGB, I think Corsair kind of wins all of that.
So. Yeah, I like the the high end look of Dominator Platinum. It's just like very classy and clean, very modern, and usually performs really well. So.
And it just looks so good when you have multiple DIMMs sitting next to each other. Mm-hmm. I just think that it like I have.
They blend together, and like especially if you have like four of them all together, it's just like this block of nice looking memory.
I wish
great looking lighting.
I wish I could show my system. So my high end desktop system, I have 8 Corsair Dominator Platinum DIMMs on 2 sides of the CPU, and then I have the rainbow wave going through all of them, and it's all sync. It's really cool looking. But yeah. Like I said, if you want to spend money on good RGB memory, this is it. The white is going to be amazing. So there's only a few really like all white components. There's only a handful of all white motherboards. There's only a handful of all white graphics cards. And there's only a handful of all this. I wouldn't consider this all white because you do have the black PCB, but
really not gonna see it.
This is going to be your white memory. So this, just awesome stuff. I love Dominator Platinum. It's like my number one for people who want to get some nice high-end memory. So, and they, I think it's off. I think the speeds goes at least up to 4,000, maybe. I'm not sure. And they offer like huge kits. They offer like 128 gig kit too for like, it's over $1,000. So, or more, probably more than that. I don't, it's a lot. But yeah, Old Man said that would be great for a white case motherboard build. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's like I said, these look awesome. So, and then I took a look at this headset that's on my head.
Imagine that. It's a good spot for it.
Well, it's that good that I'm still using it. So that tells me because it does. If I find a product that I like, say like the IQNX F96 keyboard, it stays on my desk. Things stay on my desk if I like them, and then everything gets switched out. But this is the Razer Black Shark V2. And it is, I honestly didn't have high hopes for it. It's like, you think of Razer, you think of those big, big blocky headsets, right?
Yeah, I've worn some at like CES and stuff, and they just feel so big. I mean, this is a pretty big headset. Some of they felt huge, but these are so sleek looking comparative.
Like, yeah, you know. So the thing the main reason I wasn't super excited about this, do you see this wire? Like this wire,
it's pretty thin.
Yeah, so that was the main reason, and that's again one of my cons of this headset. So I'll talk about that first. So the build quality is actually pretty good, minus this piece of wire here. Everything feels good, build quality. Sound quality is very good, and actually the ear cups themselves and the headband use, if I can actually get to a picture of it, if I have it, yeah, actually use a mesh. It's not like pleather or anything like that, but this mesh has really good like sound isolation properties. So it's one of those headsets where like if somebody was like knocking on my door right now, like I wouldn't hear it.
Probably wouldn't hear it.
Yeah, it's really that good.
If you have like a noisy neighbor or something, like blaring music, like you couldn't hear them. Yeah,
exactly. That's like perfect. And it's like I said, it's more of like an aviator style headset. You can see more of like the oval ear cups. And it's a medium sized headset. So as you can see, it's not like crazy big. I wish I should have brought, I have a Kraken Ultimate up there. The Kraken Ultimate's like a big headset. And then we've seen super lightweight headsets. This sits in the middle, I feel, kind of like almost like your headset. Your headset's probably a little bit heavier. But, you know, it sits in the middle, which I'm actually a huge fan of now. I used to be a huge fan of the big ones. And now I'm a huge fan of like more like too light is not, there's not enough power in the headset, I feel, for something that's super light. But mid-range, I think, is perfect. It comes with the integrated microphone. And then it comes with this little USB sound card. So this basically is what is powering it. And this gives you the THX Spatial Audio. And I have to say, the THX Spatial Audio is the best that I've ever used on a gaming headset.
Yeah, you were loving it.
It is so good. It's like night and day. So we play a lot of Apex Legends. THX Spatial Audio is, or Apex Legends is designed with THX Spatial Audio in mind. I don't know how you ever want to call it, but Apex Legends is one of the games that works with THX spatial audio very well. Just turning it on, it's literally night and day. So when you turn it on, you can hear people that you think they're right next to you because you can hear them if you're used to using a normal headset. But they're farther away, so you can actually pinpoint enemies from farther away. You can hear them coming up on you. It's really, really that good. And I've reviewed a bunch of different headsets that use different virtual surround sound, which THX spatial audio is. And in my opinion, it's the best. It's just that good. I would buy this headset alone just for, if I was a competitive gamer, just for the THX spatial audio, just like wow. That alone. It's that good. It doesn't hurt that this headset's extremely comfortable. I wear it for long hours. It's lightweight. So again, you don't have like a lot of times with heavier headsets, like right up here at the top, your head's going to start hurting after like, I'd say like 2 hours probably.
Yeah.
And what's really cool is that if your headset or if your game supports THX, there's new THX modes that you can enable in the software. So like Apex Legends, you see it has the THX next to it. Every game will offer stereo, game, and movie mode. Those are all THX modes, but they're like, it's a virtual. But then there's a THX competitive mode and THX environmental. That brings things to an entirely new level. THX competitive mode really like kills the bass in the headset and really you can really, really pinpoint where people are. It's really, really interesting. The environmental mode is more like you can hear sounds around you, but it's not as much concerned about. It's more like I would turn that on if I was like playing like an open world kind of where I'm not really interested in like enemies around me as much per se, okay. Like a GTA 5 type open world type game. Whereas THX competitive is all about the footsteps. So it highlights where the footsteps are. Now you don't have to worry about your game not having THX modes because again, stereo, game, and movie mode are all THX modes that every game will support. It's just the competitive environmental. You can see that like CSGO supports it, but like mm-hmm. Cyberpunk doesn't. You know what I mean?
Interesting.
So it's more like more competitive games will support it. Esports games, I would say. The included microphone sucks.
I'm just gonna like, I mean, that's it's pretty much good. Part of the course on headset mics.
Well, like those Cooler Master ones,
some of them are all right, but
we're good. This sounds very compressed, as most gaming headsets do. It's not going to be great. But what one thing is nice about it in the software on the mic itself, there's a bunch of different equalizer settings for the mic specifically. Mm-hmm. You can also set a voice gate, which is good, how loud you have to be to pick up your voice. So if you have a lot of background noise, it's not going to pick that up where you're, if you're streaming, even if you're streaming, it's like, it's not going to pick that up. You can also do enhancements like volume normalization, vocal clarity, ambient noise reduction, which is like RTX voice, but not as good. So it has a lot of features, and even the actual headset, you have a full audio equalizer as well with a bunch of different settings. And you can create your own custom setting. So the microphone stuff, I actually did an audio sample. If you want to hear it, you can hear how bad the microphone is, but you can actually hear, like, I turn the different settings on and off, and so you can hear the difference. So overall, the big seller for me on this headset is, of course, THX spatial audio. Again, it's that good. It's also very comfortable. It's super easy to use, plug and play. It's a USB, and the headset actually does work because you can plug it into a normal audio device without the USB, but you lose the THX spatial audio and some of the other stuff. But overall, one of the better headsets that I've reviewed, and it's only $100, which is surprising for Razer One. And I just think that it's a perfect price point for me. So I gave it a 9 out of 10 in the recommended award. Again, the only issue that I have is this metal wire. It's
probably fine, but it just seems like it would be very flimsy almost, not good quality to me. It looks, I don't want to say cheap, but
it's not going to bend when you put the headset on or where you're handling the headset. But my thing is, it's like, if you have this in a backpack and you have pressure against,
can they lay flat at all?
No, these cannot lay flat. So that's another thing. Yeah. So that and the microphone are the only two issues I had with this, but again, THX Spatial Audio, if you have a chance to try it, like buy this on Amazon where you can do the free 30-day return, I believe, if you have Prime. Just try it. Try it with like an esports title. You'll be better at the game. So you'll be able to hear people better. So
maybe that's what I need to improve.
Yeah, maybe I'll send you this headset so you can hear better. But yeah, and then our third and final review of the week, Ryan, you took a look at a microphone.
I did. I looked at. Now, are you sharing my screen? Yeah, you are. Okay.
Yeah, I am. You can show us the microphone. Do you have it there?
Yeah, I got it right.
Okay.
Yeah. So this is the HyperX Quadcast S. It is the updated version of their previously released Quadcast, which we reviewed in 2018, I believe. Or was it? No, 2019. Yeah, 2019. Because it came out, they kind of showed it to us at CES that year. Anyhow, honestly, this is almost an identical product to the original Quadcast as far as the audio components go. It's still a condenser microphone with three condensers in there. It still has the dial on the back, which let's see here, which gives you the option to switch between multiple polar patterns for, you know, if you just want to pick up audio in front of the microphone or 360 degrees around it, you've got multiple options there, which is one of the great features of this microphone. So design wise, it looks pretty much identical to the previous version. However, they've gone with more like muted or neutral gray highlights as opposed to the original Quadcast. The original Quadcast had a red foam pop filter behind this metal grill here, and they had red elastic on the suspension for the microphone itself. Still have the tap to mute feature on top of the microphone, which is really nice. It's super easy. Doesn't make any noise. You know, it's not a physical button, so it's not like clicking and picking up when you mute it. It's just super casual and easy to access. You know, they have that here on the Elgato as well. But this is the first microphone that we saw with it, and they brought that feature over to this version. Again, we have the dial here to switch between multiple polar patterns just to kind of give it some versatility in picking up the audio that you want and kind of blocking out that you don't. Just a pretty nice feature there as well. 3.5 millimeter audio jack on the back for monitoring. So if you want to plug a set of earbuds or headsets in here, you can actually, you know, listen to your system sound and your game or whatever else, but that you can also hear the microphone, what the microphone is picking up and kind of listen to how you sound going across there. And then they've updated this to be a Type-C connection as opposed to the Mini B that was previously on the microphone. Let's see here. As far as differences between this and the previous version, the Quadcast S is now supported by HyperX's Ingenuity application. So we get a couple options to adjust. Now, it's not like a bunch of robust audio tweaks that you can make to the microphone, which kind of stinks. You can adjust the microphone monitoring volume. So if I'm actually using that audio output, you can adjust how much side tone essentially you want to pass through to the microphone or to the headphones that you're hearing. And you can also adjust the headphone volume that's going on with that output. Now, they put the mic volume on here, which is kind of weird because you can't adjust it on this microphone. It's weird. You have the volume, the gain essentially knob at the bottom, and I'm guessing it's probably because it's a physical gain as opposed to being a software. And then they kind of give you polar pattern descriptions here, which you can't change the polar pattern in the application. So like right here, I have the cardioid selected. If I change the knob on the back of the microphone, the, you know, it would, whoops, let's go back. It would switch to one of these other patterns, but you can't click through to them to change it in the software.
I guess that makes sense because it is a physical button.
Right. So yeah, if you had them, you know, out of sync, I think that's the same thing for the volume as well.
It is nice that they do tell you what, like it has a description.
Yes.
Because like when I first like got a microphone, I was like, there's different
patterns.
Like,
what are these things? Yeah.
Yeah. What does it mean?
So, and what stinks is like, I wish you could hover, at least hover over them.
Yeah.
Because, and it'd give you the description, because if you click on them, it says you have to like change it on there. You have to change it before it tells you what the pattern options are.
It's HyperX Ingenuity, however you say it, is newer and it's not the best.
And it's a Windows Store application as well.
Yeah, so people hate that it's a Windows Store application. So you have to buy it, or not buy it, you have to download it from the Windows Store. I know like we're slowly moving in that direction, but like us normal like computer people, we want the EXE. So
another update is this does have RGB lighting as opposed to just the red lighting that was in the previous version. There's only two LEDs though, or two lighting zones essentially in this microphone, towards the top and towards the bottom. So you can do, you know, a wave effect and, you know, they've got a couple options there, but it's not like your RGB LEDs on the Dominator memory that we looked at. You know, it's not like multiple other components that have tons of LEDs. It's pretty basic and pretty simple, but it's kind of neat. You can customize it there. So that's a nice upgrade there. As far as the sound goes, sounds just the same as the Quadcast S. Again, I've got multiple recordings here of different microphones that we looked at over the years. So you feel free to listen to those, but I'm happy with it. I like the sound of it. I'm not using it right now, just because I kind of have this set up for podcasting and streaming and throwing different products into the mix kind of complicates things.
This computer up a lot, so
yeah, I just screw things up. So but no, it sounds great. I really like the sound of this microphone, especially when you're right up on it, right when you have it in your face, like most microphones, you know, they just sound.
Do you feel so basically they made it compatible with their software, they added RGB, and they added a different connector. That's
that's pretty much it. And you know, the elastic, you know, is gray, and the
foam is like gray.
It's essentially the same microphone with a few changes. Those changes, I think, are worth the price increase. It's a $20 premium over the original.
Okay.
But if those things, I think they're probably worth it. You know, just some of the adjustments you can make to those settings within Ingenuity. And you always have to pay more for RGB lighting. Like, that's just a given.
Especially if you're a streamer. And it's a newer product.
Right.
Yeah. Like especially if you're a streamer, like if this was RGB, you know, you guys would be like, "Oh, dude,
look at this cool guy."
Yeah.
I mean, I can plug it in. I'm just not going to utilize it as the mic.
Oh, Ryan's computer's going to break, guys.
He's screwed up. I think I have it on the wave setting right now. So we'll just pull it back here. So yeah, I mean, it looks nice if it's up in front of you.
Yeah.
And it's a nice shift, like smooth shifting transition. And you can't really see the LED unless you like tilt it and look up inside of it, but pretty happy with it.
Nice.
But again, just like the original Quadcast, gave it a 9 out of 10, because there's really nothing that I don't like about it. The only thing that I wish they kind of would have adjusted or fixed is, let me pull this up here. We have the gain knob on the bottom, right? And you've got these 5 dials. So like 1 through 5. But the knob actually goes so much past it. So it's not really an accurate representation of the gain setting on the microphone. I mean, they could have just tightened it up so that it only rotates through those indicators on the knob, or they could just spread those indicators out across the width and problem solved, but whatever. But yeah, Old Man says one of the best upgrades a new YouTuber can make is getting a good microphone.
Yeah. We always say, even when we started doing this podcast, was like getting good mics. Like audio is so important. If you're a streamer, if you're a content creator, if you're doing podcasts, and like, yeah, I think we might have done headset mics for a while on the podcast when we first started, but like a headset mic, you can, like, again, it sounds, the audio sounds compressed. you always want a better audio, you know, whatever you're going to use. And I went the XLR route. Ryan's obviously using a USB mic. Either are good. But like, spend $100. If you want to go more than that, yeah. But like, you can get really, really great mics for around $100 to $200. You get some really great mics.
Yeah. I mean, the nice thing about USB mic, obviously, is you don't have to worry about, all right, now I've got an XLR mic, got to get an XLR cable. What does that thing plug into? Well, I got to plug it into an audio interface. How does that then plug into my computer? So that just adds some complexity. Not that I don't like an XLR mic, right? I used one for quite a while before switching over to this microphone. So, but yeah, for $159, that's the suggested price. My only other con is that you can't get it for that price right now. Just like other microphones and webcams and things that have to do with, you know, virtual meetings in general, all those peripherals right now are just tough to get if you can even get them. And then when you can, they're at a price premium because they know they can sell them for an increased price and profit. So,
back in the chat. Okay. Hang
on. Old man says the knob goes to 11. Yes, that's correct. That is a, but this one, it goes to 11.
Yeah. In the chat, Luke says, do you drink while you build/review? And I don't need water. Not really. I'm not a huge drinker these days, really. So I don't do that. I assume I probably have in the past. Yeah, definitely have in the past, but not so much as of recent. But yeah, those are our reviews for the week. So definitely check that out. Some, you know, three really good products this week. So that's kind of exciting. But we'll move on to, we typically do CaseMod Friday. Oops, I have your screen up there. We typically have CaseMod Friday, but this past Friday, January 1st, fell on a Friday, and I figured what better way to celebrate CaseMod Friday than to do our best CaseMods of 2020. I picked, I think, five that are my favorite and for different reasons. So I'll go over them really quickly. Don't want to spend a ton of time on this. You can obviously check all of these out, and we have links to each one. First one is Killer Mods Indominus Bench. So this is Test Bench. And the reason I picked this is that we have seen Test Bench mods, and we, you know, but I don't think, at least in, we didn't really see like a res built into the structure of the bench, like custom built like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought it was cool. Definitely
one of my favorites of the year too.
Two different loops. You can see we have the orange on this side that has this massive res on the other, and you know, on this side, it's just really cool. So I thought that was really good. So hats off to Killer Mods for that one. That was just really, really impressive. I think that was for the Z490 launch. I'm pretty sure. Then we have Tech Red Mods Project Omega. And the reason I picked this is one, the clockwork is like, I'm a huge fan of like the clockwork type gears and stuff. Secondly,
the frosted
tubing and the weight, like this kind of reminds you of like a car sort of, with like, this is like the NOS like sitting there, like in its little holder type thing. I just thought it was really cool and different. And I really like these logos are like 3D printed, and I think he did a really good job on those. Again, just something a little different than some of the normal builds that we see. So that one was again by Tech Red Mods. And then we have Explore Modding's Project ONDA. This one was incredibly interesting. For one, this is the Hydra Mini, which is a little mini ITX system, but he did something that most people don't do with it, is put it in this orientation, added the ice ball from Alpha Cool, which is a ball res pump combo deal. And it just makes this really, this is just interesting. And what does he say about it? That's the ONDA, or onda is the Italian word for wave. So he made this sort of like wave structure out of wood that goes around it. It looks like an art piece, honestly.
That's what I was going to say. I was like, it feels, not that like the others aren't very artistic and creative, but this one to me is like, I would expect to see this in an art museum, right?
Yeah.
Because of the way it looks compared to other
builds. It's interesting too. I think we talked about this, but like the chrome, and then you do have clear showing the coolant just on like a few. It's just different.
Highlighted here and there. Yep.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Very, very cool. So that is from Explore Modding. The next one is Designs by IFR. This is his $13,000 Ultimate Custom Water Cooled Desk. We see a lot of these every year. This one was over the top. Obviously a $13,000 system. Just crazy amount of fans, crazy amount of these custom distro reservoir, or actually distro plates, because the reses are over here. Like it's just crazy looking. You can see that Dominator Platinum in there that he has as well. Just a crazy, and like every time I see one of these, it would just be like so cool to just be like right now, like looking down at my desk and seeing my system. Cause I'd like look over there. It's just different when it's like, right. You're like right, it's on top,
right there in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can just see it all the time.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah. So we did that one. And then finally, I picked, I always mess up saying
time play.
It's not time play. It's Tim Pele, which is his name. So sorry, Tim, for always messing up your name. It just, when I look at it, I just see time play. But this is his canvas build, which is done in the, I believe it's the Core P5 from Thermaltake. But actually, I'll just go to the page because there's two reasons I like this one. First, he has it like on this custom-made stand that makes it look like an art piece, right? Just really, really cool looking. The colors are perfect. They just go together really well. He has this custom grill on the fans with his little logo here, which I think is really cool. But if we go to the page and go to the back, so this is what the back of it looks like.
Oh, I forgot this. Yes, I loved this.
This is a custom acrylic, like little tubes that he made. It reminds you of a Light Bright.
That's very cool.
Yeah, it's very, very, all right, actually, here's a better picture of the back. So wait, that's not it. This one. That's what it looks like. Like that's just cool. So it's like
sun
rising.
Yeah, so
it's like
very cool.
It's an art piece slash system. Like it's really cool. So those were our top case mods for the year. Check out the article. It's in the Case Mod Friday section. And I'm excited to see builds. What do you think is gonna be like the new thing this year?
I mean, I don't think lighting's going away. I don't think custom loops are going away, right? Like 99% of these builds are water cooled, right? I think there's probably some that we've featured that are air cooled.
What was the big thing last year? I think the big thing last year was custom distro plates.
I was gonna say distro plates are becoming more and more popular. And you know, everybody can get like a 120 or a 240 one that fits, and of course like to go in the Lee and Lee cases, that's where you see them a ton. But yeah, maybe custom more of those, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's like what would be the new big thing?
I almost have these ideas. I'm like, maybe you could put the radiator outside of the case, or you know, like I have all these ideas.
I've seen some of these.
Yeah, which we've seen, right? His name is talking. What that comment means?
Yeah, I don't know either. But yeah, I think that I like the progression of the case mods and how they're going. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Just seeing what people can do. And that bench that we talked about was like blew my mind. And then like you see, you know, the project ONDA and you're like, wow, like people really like this, these are really art pieces, a lot of these. So it's just, you know, Derek said putting the radiator outside the case is so 2004.
I know. I had a couple kits that were like that would hang an oversized 120 millimeter radiator off the back of the case. And you'd have the holes with the rubber grommets and stuff to run the tubes out there. But like, I think you could do it in a cooler way.
But who made the big thing? It was like this like big stand.
The Resurator.
Yeah, the Resurator. Yeah.
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 Huge passive thing. And it was, you'd see pictures of it and you're like, oh, that's probably pretty big. You see it in person. It's bigger than you think.
Yeah.
It was always enormous. Yeah.
Hey, it could make a comeback. You never know.
I don't know about that.
But yeah, guys, go ahead and check that out. And Luke says maybe translucent laptops for everyone working. Remember when the translucent was like a thing? It was like early 2000s. I had a CRT monitor that was like all kind of like that opaque translucent thing. And then like what was that? The IMAX were all like that translucent. That'd be cool if it made a comeback. I don't see it making a comeback, but I could see it'd be cool if it made a comeback.
Just think what like the glow of LEDs inside of a semi-transparent case would look like, just kind of frosted, muted looking.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but anyways, guys, we are giving away a $50 gift card. So we have a contest going on, $50 gift card of any online place of your choice. As long as I can buy it for you, we'll get it to you. Just want to give something back to you guys to start the new year off right. If you didn't get anything you wanted for Christmas or holidays, we're here to hook you up. So it's super easy to enter. We do it through Gleam. If you're looking for it on the site, just go to the contest section and it will be the first one that shows up, and go ahead and get your entry in. 7 days left. So when we do the podcast next week, that will be the last day for it. So because we're doing podcasts on Thursday. So it'll be over by the next time I do a podcast. But yeah, it's definitely get your entry in on that one. And we'll go ahead and move to news. And some interesting news. First, we'll talk about RTX 30 series mobile. We had some leaks this past week of CUDA core counts for both the RTX 3070 and RTX 3080 mobile. We'll start with RTX 3070. It showed up in Geekbench database from a HP Omen laptop, 15 inch, from what I'm gathering. And it's going to have 5,120 CUDA cores. I'm excited for these. I really am.
Think it's going to be like the mobile 3000 series plus AMD 5000 series going to be the sweet spot?
At least to start, because we don't have competing
Intel mobile pieces.
You're going to have Intel in some of them, but the really high-end SKUs are going to be with AMD because just the performance is just better, at least to start. Now, when we get new stuff, then you'll see some stuff change possibly. But so that was the RTX 3070. RTX 3080 will have 6,144 CUDA cores. It also showed up in Geekbench. These are going to be awesome. I think I might get one of these.
You're ready for it, huh?
I'm ready. There's a couple laptop stories. So, Asus made an announcement, or they teased an announcement of these said laptops. They put out this little teaser from Tough Gaming, 1/12/2021, meet the new Tough Gaming. They're expected to announce Tough Gaming laptops that will feature RTX 30 series GPUs, as well as AMD 5000 series CPUs, which will be like, again, the killer combo. Mm-hmm. Tough series is their Asus laptops are really good. I wish I had a use for it. Like, again, you're not traveling as much, you're not.
Yeah. You've got a pretty comfy, cush setup with the huge screen. Yeah. Where are you going to, sit on the couch and use the laptop? Maybe, right? It's nice to just veg out and on a Sunday you got football going, and then, you could be writing a review or whatever, just sitting there.
On my iPad.
Yeah, you could do that on your, exactly. So.
Yeah, I don't know. I think that, that combo is going to be, you're going to see so much stuff announced next week. So there's going to be some awesome stuff. But talking about GPUs on the desktop side, this is a sad story. And I think we're going to see this across the board. Asus was the first to announce this, that they will be increasing their graphics card price as well as motherboards. I'll read their things. So it says, this update applies to graphics cards and motherboards. We have to announce We have an announcement in regards to MSRP prices. I can't read today. Price changes that are effective in early 2021 for our award-winning series of graphics cards and motherboards. Our new MSRP reflects increases in costs for components, operating costs, and logistical activities, plus a continuation of import tariffs. The last import tariffs, I think, is going to be the main reason why you see increases. We've worked closely with our supply and logistic partners to minimize price increases. ASUS greatly appreciates your continued business, blah, 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 blah. The new prices are very interesting. So the ASUS ROG Radeon RX 6800, the Strix LC, the water-cooled one, was $899. Okay. It is now $1,079.99. And if you look at like a 3070, like their cheapest 3070, which is their dual RTX 30, like the dual,
yep,
is $599. It's $100 more.
I don't like this. Like, that's a big price increase. Like $20, I can maybe, but like when you have this much of a price increase, to me that feels like, I don't know, you didn't do your due diligence, or like that seems like such a big jump in price that somebody didn't do their job right, and for us to be this off on price.
I saw a story today, I didn't have a chance to read it, was about the tariffs, like the import tariffs, yeah. Which I'd have to read more to really give you, but I think that's going to be a big thing. The ROG Strix RTX 3090, the white one.
Yeah,
it's $2,100. Yeah, $2,100. You know, the thing that sucks is that people want these cards and they have had a hard time getting them even at MSRP, right?
Yeah.
Now you're raising that MSRP, you're raising the MSRP, which is also going to raise the scalping price even more. So more people aren't going to get these cards. That's the problem.
Like, I had a guy at work earlier this week, and he was talking about he had just built a new system and he had a 3090, and I was like, oh wow, pretty sweet. And he's like, well, that's not like what I originally went to buy. He went up to Micro Center in Kansas City and was like, I was in line for a 3080 and they didn't have any, but the guy there was like, I got a ticket, you know, for one more 3090, and everybody else was like, oh, backing away, and he was like willing to make that price jump just to get a new graphics card. Like, that's a significant price bump just to be able to have it.
Double the price. So, yeah. But I mean, I bet he's happy too, because you can't get anything.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, otherwise I would have, like, you know.
I mean, he could have paid that much for a 3080. People are paying that much for 3080s. So, yeah, this sucks. And again, as there are some stories out today, which I didn't have a chance to read, but I think we'll read more into it and we'll talk about it next week on the podcast. There's a lot going on, and ASUS was the first to announce, but I think you're going to see it across the board, which is kind of sad. Again, just we went from $1,200 card, now that cost $499, which is now going to be, I guess, $599. But it's like we went down in the price, and now you're bringing it back up. Yeah.
Well, and what does NVIDIA think of that, right? Like, are they on board? Not that they can really... Are they going to raise their prices?
That's the interesting thing. There hasn't been any word from NVIDIA on this, on what if this is an NVIDIA price jump too.
Right.
Because because we have seen that where there has been a price change and all AIBs have to adjust to that. So we haven't heard that yet. So it's interesting to say the least. Also talking about new cards that are coming out, we talked about it last week, of an RTX 3080 Ti 20GB and an RTX 3060 12GB, which again is very odd. These leaked from Gigabyte again, it was from ASUS first. Now Gigabyte has leaked them with their EEC regulation papers. They're basically like the papers you need to import something into the country. they're listed on there. They have a bunch of RTX 3080 Ti's, Aorus Extreme, Aorus Master, Vision, Gaming, Eagle, and Turbo cards. And again, this weird 3060 12 gigabyte, which is just, just a weird card. But that's also listed on there. So,
and then you'll get, like, that card's like the they skipped leg day meme, right? Like, it's like super bulky with the memory, but then like GPU performance, not that it's like slacking or anything, but you know, has the skinny legs. So,
yeah,
I don't know.
So, yeah, these are definitely happening unless they change names. But I mean, they've imported them to the country, so those will be happening.
I like to see new products announced, but again, you can't get any of them. And these are all going to be increased in price anyways, more than likely. But
yeah, it's a weird time. So weird. We live in weird times. Talking about things that are coming up, it looks like MSI kind of jumped the gun and told everybody when Rocket Lake S was coming out. We should see an announcement at CES. That's what we're guessing. They posted this on their South Korean forum, this is a South Korean forum that they have an official account on. Like a lot of big forums have, like, companies have official accounts to tech support and help people. This one says, currently Intel 10th generation, this is translation, but I guess this means motherboards such as H410, B460, and Z490 are scheduled to support Intel 11th generation CPU, and the Z490 main board is being updated first. So that means that we'll get the BIOS first. Intel 11th generation CPUs are scheduled to be released at the end of March. Somebody official from MSI said this, which I assume they know that.
Sure.
We expected that, right? I mean, that was very much expected. Because the leak that we talked about previously said that you get an announcement at CES, but you wouldn't see
it. It won't launch at the same time. Yep.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's good that we have a date. We know when it's coming. Know when to expect it. Nothing else on the front of motherboards or anything like that yet. So, yeah.
Okay.
We shall see.
What's next?
What is next? Well, what is next is... Yeah, what is next is Rocket Lake S. So somebody has one, and they tested it in the CPU Z benchmark, and it actually scored 3% better than the Ryzen 9 5950X in single-core performance. And this is the interesting thing. Ryzen 5000 series single-core performance was awesome, obviously helped them close that gap in gaming, and that was kind of like the big thing. But it looks like at least this, and again, this is only an 8-core processor, whereas the 5950X is 16-core. It's beaten it at single core. It's going to be cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's better at gaming, like again, and it's, I would assume it's going to be $500 if you can get it, right? I think we're going to have this thing now where it's going to be back and forth.
Which no is nice. Long... I'm happy to see the back and forth. I'd rather see that than, hey, Intel's just continuing to beat down AMD. I'll happily take the back and forth performance lead.
Yeah, so if you guys don't know, like with Ryzen, since its launch, it's always performed worse than Intel in gaming. So we always said, if you were solely gaming or gaming was your main focus, go Intel. If you wanted multi-core, at least from Ryzen 3000 series on, it was always go AMD. With Ryzen 5000 series, we saw that increase in single-core performance where it was like, give or take, you could pick either or depending. And now, again, it looks like if they do this like with Rocket Lake S, if they take back gaming, they're going to have it until AMD comes out with Ryzen 6000 series. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, yeah. PD in the chats, he says, I want your opinion. Find a PC case, but I don't know if this case is good or not. The PC is Corsair Obsidian 750D. I believe I reviewed
it. I have it pulled up here too. The Corsair's page. So yeah, the 750D is a, I think it's a full size. Yeah, it's a full tower. So it's a pretty big system, honestly. Or whoops, that's not the image I wanted. Where's, yeah, I mean, you know, they show it here with multiple 3.5 inch drive bays. Obviously, it's got some 5.25s, 3 multi-slot GPUs. So I mean, it's a very big case. I don't know that there's been any like major complaints or anything. Plenty of room for about all the hardware you could want to throw in there. It's got a solid front to it, with a bit of a gap around.
I worry about
brushed aluminum, and it's got 2 140s behind it.
Oh, it does. Okay.
And so, you know, you got a couple spots up top for fans. And
I believe this is an older case.
It's, yeah, it's not their newest by any means, but it's still pretty current. And I think it's probably a perfectly fine case. You said you thought you may have reviewed it.
Yeah, a while ago. This is still 5.25 inch drive base. That's how you know it's older.
Well, sure. Yeah. No type C port on it or anything. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're doing a build, obviously ATX. Yeah, you needed that space. $159 though, there are plenty of cases that I would say are more current.
Yeah, I would
better
for that price point. A lot of other cases I would recommend.
We recently reviewed the Fractal Design Meshify 2, not C. Fractal Design Meshify 2. It would give you better air cooling. It's a more updated case.
Define R6, R7. Do they have an R7 yet?
Yeah.
R6 is the latest one, I think. And also on this one, there's no power supply shroud. So, you know, you got to worry about that cable mess.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of other cases, like we said, that we would probably recommend ahead of this, unless you need this big of a case and that this type of layout. But that's not to say that this is a bad case by any means.
So, Ryan, you might know this. Yeah, PD also asks, he has a Gigabyte 970A D3. It's an AM3 plus board. If he buys an R9380, do you have to change the motherboard? I don't think, right?
Want to buy a used GPU? My motherboard is a Gigabyte 970 AM3. I don't see why you would need to.
Yeah, no? I don't think you would need to. So, yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we can help you out with that. But yeah, there are a ton of cases within that price point of between 100 and 150 that are great. Like I say, check out reviews, check out our reviews, check out other reviews. Just kind of see what would kind of work with what you're buying really and what you kind of want, the look you want. You better for cooling, better for looks.
Yeah, do you need those drives? You know, do you? Yeah.
A lot of that stuff. So, okay. So talking about laptops, I saw this and I was like, I will buy one. And it's so hard to justify it as well. But it looks like we are finally going to see, at least with Samsung, like at least more of a mass adoption of OLEDs in laptops this year. I mean, if you look at that, like it is seamless. It has to be like razor thin. OLED, yeah,
like no bezel. Wow. No,
like, yeah, look at that. There's like no bezel on that. I mean, like, come on.
Look how thin it. I mean, you're only seeing that front bezel, so it could be thicker as it goes back. But,
and like it, like I could go for a crazy super light, like travel laptop that would still like if it had like a newer processor and, you know, USB 3.2 Gen 2 on it for video editing. Like I could do that. And with an OLED on it,
it looks so good.
Yeah. Kosher's in the house in our chat. He said he just worked out. So he's doing Kosher. I talked about my New Year's resolution was getting in shape and I went to the gym this morning. So, but we're talking about Samsung OLED laptops going to be announced at CES. I mean, it's like with that good of a screen. OLED's just that good, dude.
It is. Oh, I know. We see it. You all like, see those just so crisp, blackest blacks, you know, just like super bright. Yeah.
And it's like this is a laptop that I'd want to travel with where like I'm on the plane and I want to watch a movie on it, right? Or I want to relax and not be in front of this big screen, but like a crispy, nice little laptop screen to like, you know, do emails or something on. This see, now like this, it's crazy that like a screen would make me justify this over the gaming laptop. You know, yeah. Kosher said PowerPoint will be nice on the OLED. Probably everything will be nice on the OLED. So I'm excited for these. Obviously, these will be announced next week at CES. It'd be interesting to see specs. I think I'd go for an AMD one, honestly. If they had like a 5000 series AMD one. But we've seen that AMD has really only delivered the high-end chip, right? Like, it's going to be what, the 5900H or 5800H? They haven't...
I don't know how you're going to fit that in here with any cooling.
Well, yeah, what I mean is, like, they haven't brought, like, a whole series to compete with Intel, not only in the high-end, but, like, on, you know,
right, that just a laptop. Standard laptop,
yeah. Yeah, so we'll see, but I'm excited to see those. It sucks that we're not going to be able to see them in person, because, again, seeing on video is nice, but, like, seeing them in person is just something else. So, yeah. And then this is an interesting thing. And I think that if you are in the Apple ecosystem, it's convenient more than anything. Apple filed new patents for chargers that would be built into their MacBooks. Which makes sense. I mean, if you look at the figures, it's like, this is really interesting, because I don't think they're putting this many on them, because this would be weird if they're putting this many. I think you would see one.
Mm-hmm. Like, you would, I can see when it's closed, but that open picture, I'm like, I don't want my phone and watch sitting right there, like, in the way, you're having to like type over it.
Yeah, it would be cool to see on the back, like the new iPhones have like that MagSafe. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like a magnet. Yeah, and if they had that built into the top, or you could just, like, you know, set your phone there. Yeah, this makes sense. I mean, if you're in the ecosystem, like, I have an Apple Watch and an iPhone, and I charge everything wirelessly now, to just have it built into my laptop would be nice. You know, so they filed the patents. We'll see when these come out, probably next year sometime. Or towards the end of this, now that it's 2021, towards the end of 2021, we'll probably possibly see this. Yeah, pretty cool. Have we seen like a laptop with a wireless charger built in?
Oh, again, I don't think I'd want it, because unless you have one of those laptops where the keyboard is like shifted closer to you and you have more like empty space towards the screen. You know, we've seen some of those, like Asus, I think, has one like that. You could put it there and maybe convince me to do it, but I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be kind of a hard sell. I do like it on the back, like if it's just sitting there.
Right. If you had it closed and you want it and you could set them on there, I think that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that. So, yeah. And then our last news story, sad one. Well, not really that sad. I would hope that you're still not using Flash. But Flash, Adobe's Flash Player will no longer be supported as of December 31, 2020. RIP Flash. I remember when, like, Flash like first came out. Like, you think of some of those like all those like old websites that were Flash based. Everybody at the time when this was like announced was like freaking out, but like a lot of those websites that still exist today have been transitioned to HTML5 like for the past year or even longer.
Flash Player.
Yeah.
Oh man.
Good old Flash.
It's gone.
I know. You got smarter. HTML5 uses less resources and isn't hackable. Well, I mean, probably still hackable, but you know what I mean. But yeah, so Adobe Flash, RIP. I think we put out a meme the other day about it, but yeah. That is our news for the week. We'll talk about what we have coming up next week. I'll be taking a look at a motherboard. ASRock sent over their X570 PG Velocita. This was kind of like, this was launched at the Ryzen 5000 series launch around that time. It's kind of like, they kind of do this. A lot of companies did like kind of like their, like, it's just like a refresh. of their X570 line. So we'll be taking a look at that. It's their Phantom Gaming line. Looks pretty cool. So I'll be taking a look at that. And then I will be taking a look at the Samsung 980 Pro PCI Express 4.0 NVMe SSD.
I have it
right here.
There it is.
I'm excited.
That's going to be a quick one.
I'm super excited for this one. 7,000 megabytes a second.
That's so fast.
So we are on sort of like this, I wouldn't call it second gen, but it's like the second round of PCI Express 4.0. When it first launched, speeds and controllers gave us around 5,000 megabytes a second. Now that we have our second round of new controllers, we're seeing like this 7,000 megabytes a second. You'll see a lot of new drives come out that are around 7,000 to 8,000. So that's really exciting. Samsung, of course, they're huge when it comes to SSDs now. So really excited to take a look at that as well. So, cool. So yeah.
Do you want to pour one out for no in-person CES?
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I don't have anything to pour out. I have water.
Yeah,
I have my Armor Light. So either or, we can toss one out for no CES. Yeah, so guys, typically this week we would already be in Vegas for a Consumer Electronics Show. We're not there. It's sad.
I mean, next week is it the end of this? It's like over a weekend this year, isn't it?
I guess. I haven't really even looked.
January 11th through the 14th. So yeah, it's over a weekend.
Yeah, it's weird.
Weird. But yeah, no, it's sad. Everybody on, you know, all our friends and YouTubers and other reviewers are like lamenting about not being able to see each other this year and just go hang out. Cause it's a lot of work, right? Like, I mean, I've only gone 3 years and it's nuts. I can't imagine having gone for like as long as you have and continuing to go, but you know, again, you form those relationships and it's nice to be able to see some of those people for the only time you see them in a year. So,
yeah, it's interesting. It's like, obviously we know why we're not going to be there. I think the biggest thing is like, one, I do miss seeing the new stuff, like those OLED laptops. Like I would love to see that. Like that would be amazing. Right. And all the other new stuff that we would see from all the companies that we work with, but like seeing all of our friends, all of our fellow tech people, hanging out, just, you know, having some beers, like they would just be cool. That's kind of the biggest thing that we miss. And like traveling in general is just fun. So it's like, it's always a good trip. It's across the country. Like typically for me, it's like, I'm going from freezing cold weather to like Vegas, which is typically like warm or like warmer.
It's nice. It gets chilly in the evening. For sure.
Yeah, but it's like nice during the day. So it's like I go from like an ice tundra to like no snow and like 50s, which is nice. Mm-hmm. So no CES, which is a big bummer.
Hopefully next year.
Yeah. Derek says, I'm going to need some temp tests on the 980. Yeah. I don't know if it comes with I haven't opened it yet, so I don't know if it comes with a heatsink. If it doesn't, obviously we'll test it without the heatsink, and then I'll put a heatsink on it from our motherboard. So we'll see what that's about. Temp test on that. Kosher said, we'll see you guys there next year. Yeah, CES is always fun. Come out. It's a good time. It's good. Great to network for you, Kosher, as well, for your channel. So definitely a spot to do that. So that is going to wrap everything up. As I always say, guys, I appreciate everybody, or we appreciate everybody who is in here in our chat, who's listening just to the audio, who's watching us later, all that stuff. Great start to 2021. I'm excited. What do you think is going to be the big thing? What do you mean?
I don't know. I'm excited about like the technology itself. I'm not excited about the pricing and the inavailability. You know, so those two hand in hand stink. You know, but
go ahead.
No, that's pretty much.
Yeah, I think the thing that's going to suck, and I keep on saying this, is that people will eventually end up getting their hands on like RTX 30 series or Radeon 60 6000 series, Ryzen 5000 series and like new Intel CPUs. Like, well, they'll finally get their hands on them, and then there'll be a new announcement. Right. Right.
Yep. And it's even worse. Like, it's always the joke that like, oh, you buy technology and then they announce the new one. Like, that's always been a joke and a thing, but it'll be more exaggerated this time around, I think.
Yeah.
Because of the delays and people actually getting that stuff.
Yeah, I'm like I said, I hope we
see we're at a point where the systems are just so fast. Like, if you have a current system, like, and we're still seeing improvements, obviously, you know, gen to gen. So there's room to improve, I guess. I don't know, maybe faster, more affordable, larger monitors. I don't know. We keep hearing 8K every now and then. I don't think we're anywhere close to that being like.
I mean, we hardly have adoption of 4K, to be honest. Yeah. They are more affordable though. I mean, if you would tell me like the monitor, the 49 inch monitor that's sitting in front of me, I think is $899 or something like that. Like, that's crazy for what it
is. Yeah, tell you that like 5 years ago, like, yeah. Hey, what would a 49 inch
ultra wide, like 1440p, 144 hertz? Like, yeah. So yeah, I think we'll see a lot of cool stuff this year. So you guys, we will be, streaming over on Twitch after that. We are jumping on Apex Legends. Get to use this awesome headset. It's twitch.tv/thinkcomputers. So definitely go ahead and check that out. And for next week, we will be doing Thursday instead of Wednesday. Hockey starts on Wednesday, so I've made plans with friends.
That's why.
That's the reason. It's all the NHL starts on the 13th, so I'm a huge hockey fan, so I will be doing that. But we will be here on Thursday, so check us out on Thursday. If you want to stick with us, again, head on over to twitch.tv/thinkcomputers.